Good morning, and welcome to Bowmansville this morning. I want to greet any guests or visitors who are worshiping with us this morning. Welcome. And those who are watching on the live stream, I just want to welcome you as well. Why are we here this morning? Why are we here? We're here to worship and praise the one true and living God. The God who created everything, and he sent his Son to die for us. Sent him so we could have a way to spend eternity with the Father. We get to worship God. And he loves us so much that he sent Jesus to die on a cross. He loves us so much that he gave us his Spirit that lives in us. We get to worship him together as a church. Will you join me in prayer this morning? Heavenly Father, just breathe on us this morning. Fill us with an awe and wonder of who you are. Ignite a fire in our hearts, a blazing inferno in our souls for you. Come and awaken our hearts from all the stuff that weighs us down. Let us worship you, and let that worship of you, Lord, flow out of us. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Our first song says, "The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning." That's true, even if we can't see it. So that's true about many things in life, that they exist. Truth doesn't change, even if the current circumstances don't look that way. Our offering this morning is for CrossNet Ministries. So if you haven't already had a chance to put your offering in the plate, you can do so during this song. The sun comes up.
What's the Lord? Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for this day where we can worship your holy name, where we can come together and corporately lift you up. Father, encourage us to bring your word, your message of hope, especially in this season as we prepare for Easter Sunday next week. Give us the opportunity and let us be bold to share your word and your truth with those who need to hear it. Father, we thank you for your blessings to us. May we be a blessing to others with our time, our energies, and the gifts you've given to us, that we turn over but a portion to you for the work of the church and the work of CrossNet Ministries. Today, be with Pastor Tony as he shares your word with us. Be with us here and always, in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen.
This week leading up to Easter is a time of much high emotions. And as Jesus entered into Jerusalem and as he was crucified and as he rose again, emotions are a funny thing. They're a response to what we are experiencing, what we hear, what we see, and they are a real thing, but they don't always reflect what is really true. So emotions are a good thing. We have to be careful we don't base all our decisions on those. So early on, the disciples were saying, we're going to follow you to the end. We're going to stand up and fight for you. But when Jesus was arrested, they were saying, I don't know the guy. Don't want to have anything to do with him. When Jesus was coming into Jerusalem, the crowds were shouting, Hosanna, here's our king. Just days later, they're shouting, crucify him, crucify him. And Jesus, as he looked down over Jerusalem as he came into the city, he looked at the whole city and how he loved them, and it says that he was weeping, and that he could have been angry, he could have been resentful, he could have said, like God said to Moses, I'm just going to destroy these people and start over, because he was weeping because he wanted to gather them together to be his people, but they weren't going to do that. But the exciting news about this week is that regardless of our emotions or Jesus' emotions, Jesus loved us so much that he went ahead with the big plan, even when the little plan didn't seem quite right. So these songs we have this morning are about God's love for us, and love is a decision, and that's not wishy-washy back and forth with emotions. I invite you to stand to sing.
Who's on man?
My God, he will not. Oh,
teens are gone. That truth will remain with us in all our emotional ups and downs. And when the storms rage or it seems like things are going the wrong way, that we're still yours and can just be held in your arms because you love us. In Jesus' name, amen.
So this morning, I need a volunteer to come up front here. I saw Ella's hand first. So, now, I need you to use your imagination this morning. Do you have a good imagination? Sure, that doesn't sound very confident. So, I need you to pretend you're at the beach. Do you think you can do that? I have some props that will help. I have a beach chair. I better open it over that because it's kind of might get a little sandy from it because it was in the garage. And I have a beach towel, so you can have a seat, and here's your beach towel. So close your eyes. Do you feel like you're at the beach? Your eyes aren't shut. We're imagining And you guys can imagine too. And you adults, you can imagine. It might take a lot more work. But so do you feel like you're at the beach? You do. Well, that's good. You must have a great imagination. See, everybody else is looking at a picture on the wall of the beach. And you can, maybe this will help. Does that help? Does that help you pretend you're at the beach?
This is Dinnerly.
Somehow I got an ad on my phone. Okay. See, you got to go with the flow. Stuff happens. And there was a seagull playing in the background. Can you just picture a seagull swooping in and stealing some guy's food? Yeah, because that's happened to a lot of us. How many of you here has had that happen to you? There's a lot of hands up right now. The sun is really bright. It's really bright. Does that help you pretend you're at the beach?
Sure.
Sure. Still not very confident. I mean, if your imagination's really, really, really good, you should be able to figure out how to turn this thing on. There it is. You should be able to feel the breeze of the ocean coming off the ocean. Do you feel that? I mean, your imagination's really good. You can almost feel the mist coming off the waves. Can you feel that?
Yes.
Man, you have a good imagination. So, boy, your imagination is really good. It looks like you have mist all over you. What happened? So, you can open your eyes now and you can go back down there with everyone else. This is just to get you to get your imagination going. Thank you, Ella. You can have a double snack just for helping out. So, when you're at the beach, what else do you do?
You get
stuff for the beach, yeah. And you go out to the beach, and what do you do? You swim, you go in the waves, you play in the water. What else? You build sandcastles and stuff. So, when you go in the water, what happens?
It's cold.
It's cold? Yeah, it's usually cold. What happens? Sometimes you get knocked over by a big wave, right?
Yeah.
So, I want you, what else happens when you're in the waves? What does it feel like? I forgot to move my slides. Did you see how that seagull is kind of floating around in a circle? He's not really going anywhere. He goes up and down on the waves. He's kind of bobbing around. You know how the waves push on you and pull on you, kind of move you back and forth, right? So I want you guys to jump into the ocean right here and imagine there's waves pushing you and pulling you back and forth. Now, these are small waves. These are not giant waves, so you don't have to move very far. Jump into the water. You can tell they're kids. They just dive right in. Me, I'm like, creep into the water. Man, this is cold, and creep a little bit farther. Aren't you guys going to get in the water? There's no sharks in this water, so you don't have to worry about it. Now pretend there's waves. They push you back and forth. They move. You move back and forth. There's waves. Jericho's like, I ain't moving. I'm just standing here. These waves aren't big. Okay, the wave's like this tall. Is it going to move you a little bit? Yeah, it's going to move you a little bit. All right, now you guys can climb out of the water and sit back down. We won't want anybody to get seasick from moving around so much. So you guys have a pretty good imagination. You can think of things when you're at the beach. But I want you to think of this. Imagine you're in this boat, and there's waves crashing over the front of it. And you're out in the sea, Because in Mark chapter 4, Jesus tells his disciples to go and cross to the other side of the sea, and this big storm comes up. You can see a little boat in a big storm. And the waves were crashing over the front of the ship, and the boat was filling up with water. Can you see that and picture that? It does help to have a visual. But the disciples, they were frightened. They were scared. Most of them were fishermen. Most of the disciples were fishermen. And they had made their living being out on boats and in storms, and so they were used to waves. But this was a big storm that they were so scared that they had to run and wake Jesus up, who was sleeping in the back of the boat. You know what Jesus does? He tells that storm to be calm. And that water just becomes smooth. Just like that. And there's a little boat sitting there, and there's no waves at all. See, when we have Jesus in our heart, He gives us hope that no matter what happens in our lives, when these big waves are hitting us and crashing on us in life, Jesus is there. He is there with us, and He is there to carry us through. So just remember, it doesn't matter how big the waves are. Jesus is there with us to carry us through when we have Him in our heart. So I'm going to pray for you guys, and then you can have a snack and go back to your seats. So will you join me in prayer? Will you close your eyes as I pray over you? Jesus, we just thank you for all the children that are here. Fill them with hope that you are there taking care of them. I pray that each one will ask you, Jesus, into their hearts and follow you for every day of their life. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. You guys can have a snack and head back to your seats. So I would like to welcome you again this morning and thank you for your prayers for my family and I as I prepared this message. Recently here at church, we had a lot of altar calls and inviting people to come forward in response to how the Holy Spirit was speaking to them. And we as a leadership team want to make room for the Holy Spirit to move in our hearts and lives during Sunday morning services. And we are following the leading of the Holy Spirit as we prepare these messages. I believe that God is calling us individually and as a church to a deeper walk with Him, a deeper relationship. I believe that God is bringing healing to His church and going to bring healing to the community around us through us reaching out. I believe that God is going to do amazing things here in our church and out in our community. But before I get started in our message this morning, I was given a prayer request. Wilmer and Janie Nault's son-in-law, Fred Rank, that's Connie's husband, he has been battling cancer, and he is going to be admitted to the Hershey Medical Center on March 30th. And on March 31st, he will start intense chemo to fight the cancer. So I'm going to ask you as a congregation to join with me and take a few minutes to pray for Fred and Connie and their family and extended family. And as we're praying, if someone feels led by the Holy Spirit to pray, right here is the microphone. I invite you to stand up and come forward and pray. If the Holy Spirit is prompting you to come and pray, here's an opportunity for you to do so. So will you join me before the Lord on Fred and Connie's and their family and their extended family's behalf as we pray? And I will give you a few minutes and then I will close.
Father in heaven, I just hold up to you, Connie and Fred, and their family, extended family. We just sang about in the arms of love of our Heavenly Father. And this is a time when that's needed. So I just pray especially for Connie and Fred that they would feel that and that they would trust the medical field and also trust God to do beyond and around and above all and below all that the medical field does as well. Just pray for healing. And we just pray that Fred's influence could continue in the things that you've called him to do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Heavenly Father, in Philippians 4, 6, and 7, it says that we are supposed to make our requests known to you in prayer and petition, and then that you will give a peace that passes all understanding, and that our hearts and minds will be guarded. Our request is that you will bring a physical healing to Fred's body. Remove the cancer from him completely. Father, you know the outcome before it even started. You know what is going on in Fred's body down to the smallest microscopic detail. Bring healing to him. Bring the peace that passes all understanding and rain it down on Fred and Connie and their families. Guard their hearts and minds against attacks from the enemy, who will try to bring doubt and fear, but he is powerless because of your protection that is surrounding them. Carry them through this trial and let them see your goodness moment by moment, every single day. In the powerful name of Jesus, amen. I thank you for joining me in prayer. Well, this morning we are continuing our series with Called to a Deep Hope. As Easter approaches, we are celebrating Palm Sunday this morning, a day in remembrance when Jesus paraded into Jerusalem on a young donkey. And I'm going to be reading John 12, 12 to 16. The next day, when the large crowd that had come to the festival heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, they took palm branches and went out to meet him. They kept shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, just as it was written. "Do not be afraid, daughter Zion. Look, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." His disciples did not understand these things at first. However, when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written about him and that they had done these things to him. The people heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, and a large crowd went out to meet him, and they were laying palm branches out in front of him as he rode into town. They were shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Don't be afraid, daughter Zion. Look, your king is coming." The people were filled with hope. They were praising God for what they thought God was doing. God was giving them a king, a powerful king that had raised Lazarus from the dead only days before. But their hope was still focused on an earthly king coming to free them from a Roman rule that they were under. They had hope in Jesus that if he could raise someone from the dead, he should be able to free them from the Roman oppression that they were under. But God was doing so much more. Now looking at us, we have hope in Jesus because he died on the cross for our sins, giving us a way to be with the Father forever. Our hope and their hope was a little bit different. The disciples didn't understand what was truly happening until after Jesus' death and resurrection. But before we dig farther into hope, We need to clear some things up. Between faith and hope. Faith and hope, they go hand in hand, but yet they're different. They're two different things. We have faith, believing that Jesus is the Son of God and that He died on the cross for me. Our salvation is through faith in Jesus. But then it shifts to hope. I am filled with hope because of what Jesus did for me in the past, dying for me to take away my sins. I am also filled with hope for what lies ahead of me, an eternity in heaven with the Lord. We have faith in Christ, and this gives birth to hope. Hope of eternity with the Lord. And this is going to be our focus for this morning. In Jeremiah 29:11, it says, "I know the plans I have for you." This is the Lord's declaration. "Plans for your well-being, not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." Through Christ, we have hope. This hope should be rooted so deep in us that we should be spurred to action. This hope should fill us to full and overflowing, that no matter what situation comes our way in our life, it becomes overshadowed by this deep hope of what is to come. God has proven faithful time and time again. What He says will happen is going to happen. Philippians 4:11-12. "I don't say this out of need, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I find myself. I know both how to make do with little, and I know how to make do with a lot. In any and all circumstances, I have learned the secret of being content, whether well-fed or hungry, whether in abundance or in need." Paul, in these verses, learned to be content in plenty and in times of having little. Why? Through faith, giving birth to hope. Paul had a hope so deep that it didn't matter what happened to him. He knew he was secure in his faith, but he could also see the finish line. That finish line ahead, giving him hope and giving him a strength to strive for eternity, to spend it with Christ. And that was his focus. When our faith and our hope in the Lord is rooted deep in us, we can go out into this world and bring many lost and hurting people to the Lord. We can face whatever comes our way. So I hope that clears it up a little bit, the difference between hope and faith. There is a difference, but yet they go hand in hand together. So now we can dig a little bit deeper into hope. So how many of you have weeds in your garden, or when you had a garden, had weeds in your garden? I think there's more weeds than good plants in my garden, but we do get some good stuff out of it. So some of those weeds are really easy to pull out, right? You can just grab them and pull them right out. But man, those thistles, they are hard to pull out. Why? Because they have a deep root. Some thistles can grow a root up to 20 feet deep. How hard is that going to be to pull out? And that is what I'm talking about, this deep-rooted hope in Christ. And it's so deep that it can't be removed from us. Some things that we can do, and maybe we should do first, is do some soul searching. Looking at ourselves. Am I like the people who are laying down the palm branches? Having a focus on earthly things. We'll finally have a king. Or am I eternally focused? My hope is in the Lord, and it is so deep it doesn't matter what happens to me. I will go and spread the gospel even if I die for my faith. So we need to look at ourselves and say, where is my focus? Is it on heaven or is it on earth? Another thing we can do to grow hope deeper in us is to look at God's promises that He has for us in His Word. Titus 1:1-2. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, for the faith of God's elect and their knowledge of the truth that leads to godliness, in the hope of eternal life that God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. Just think about that statement. The hope of eternal life that God promised before time began. That is a powerful promise that we can hold on to. First Peter 1, verse 13, therefore, with your minds ready for action, be sober-minded and set your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Peter tells us that we need to be ready for action, not just sitting and waiting for Christ to return. We should want to share and spread the hope that we have. Hebrews 10, 23 and 24. Let us hold on to the confession of our hope without wavering, since He who promised is faithful, and let us watch out for one another to provoke love and good works. We need to hold unwavering to the hope that we confess. When we confess faith in Jesus Christ, we are confessing hope as well. God is faithful. When He says He will do something, He will do it. We are also supposed to watch out for each other. As it says, provoking one another to love and good works. Normally when you provoke someone, it's not a good thing, but we're supposed to provoke someone in a good way so they're moved to action. God's Word is full of many, many, many other promises. So dig into it. Let the hope grow deep in your heart and in your soul. Look at our own lives. How many times has God come to our rescue? I don't think I could put a number on it. It's that many times. How many times has the Word of God come true? Every time. When God says something will happen, it will happen. And these are the things that deepen our hope in the Lord. There's still more ways to deepen our hope in the Lord. Hope in action. Action is a way to deepen our hope in the promise of eternity. See, when I take steps of faith to do what God is asking me to do, as I'm taking these steps, God moves. And when God moves, He's proving Himself faithful. And we can see this faithfulness, and the hope in us grows deeper. And as it grows deeper, it grows stronger in us. And we get into this cycle where we move because of our hope in God. And He moves because of His faithfulness. And we are strengthened, and this cycle repeats, and our hope is deepened and strengthened. And you have times as well when you feel like God is distant and He's just not there. You can't hear Him and He's not moving. Yet we need to take action. We need to take action anyway because of the hope that we have in God and His promises. And we become strengthened, just like that circle, in these times when our focus is on God and it doesn't feel like He's there, He feels distant. Take that action and see how God is faithful and see how God is moving. So how is God calling you to action? That might be a little tough to read, but maybe you're here this morning and you feel hopeless. If you have accepted Jesus as your Savior, you need to stand on His promise and take hope in His word and His promises that He has for you. Because Satan likes to attack us and get us to feel hopeless. If you have not accepted Jesus as your Savior and you feel hopeless, well, there's one thing you can do. Accept Jesus as your Savior and take away this hopelessness. You can receive an eternal hope that you will spend eternity with Christ and the Father in heaven. And you will be filled with a hope that is so strong, it doesn't matter what is happening around you. So ask Jesus into your hearts as your Savior. Because that is the only way to have a deep, abundant hope. So in closing, our hope is in the Lord because He is faithful to us. He is faithful to His promises that He made. We need to take action, be ready to give an account for the hope that we have in Jesus. It says in 1 Peter 3:15, "But in your hearts regard Christ, the Lord, as holy, ready at any time to give a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you." We need to be ready to share. When we're going through a trial and someone sees this hope coming out of us and they ask, how can you go through that? You got to be ready to say, it is because Jesus is my Lord and Savior and my hope is in Him. And when your hope is shaken, go and dig into God's Word and find some of His promises that He has for you. And there's a lot of them. Here's one for you. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. Will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for giving us a hope for eternity through your Son, Jesus. Give us a deep hope so that we can go and share your message to the world. If anyone is hopeless this morning, speak to their hearts. Call them to you so they can have a hope that is from Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. I invite the worship team forward.
Some of you remember Tim Demerit, and he was someone, when he worked for me, he often talked about the stars. And he gave me many books to read, which I tried to read most of them. And they had, one had charts of all the stars, where they are in the sky on different seasons, like in each month. And you could like tell your direction by that. I have to admit that I more often rely on GPS than the stars, but it's an intelligent person who can do that from watching the stars and have their sense of direction, which is what they did before we came along. But somehow when Tim and I would look up in the stars at night and talk about the things he was talking about, and I was trying to learn, that reminds me of this song. It says, "There's a city of light amid the stars, we are told, where they know not a sorrow or care."
There's a city of light amid the stars, we are told, where they know. Sad world.
I am sure I heard that song before the first time I remember hearing that song. But one distinct memory I have of that is when I was in Jamaica. And the people were needy. And not that we're not needy, we're just needy in different ways. But I was thinking how they could really relate to that song of how our struggle is almost over, but we have hope. And how our struggles are different, but we still have struggles. But we still have that same hope that the Jamaicans had back in 1990 and 91, whatever it was. Too far to remember. Just here to not just to say that. That was free. Actually, it did cost you some time. To highlight, this is the last Sunday to sign up for the fundraiser meal to support Nate Magali. Those that are listening online, you could call me on my cell number. It's in the church book, or it's 717-629-1691. I say that quite often during the week, so I know it well. The other thing I want to highlight, too, is this Good Friday service. It is really good, the film that we're going to be watching. I encourage each and every one of you, and bring friends and family out. It's good. Thanks.
Thank you, Dwayne. I just wanted to call your attention to the note in the bulletin about our start time for next Sunday morning. It's going to be 9:30 next Sunday morning. So if you show up at 10, you're going to be a little late. So we're starting at 9:30, and there's a note in your bulletin. So will you stand for the parting benediction? The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Go, filled with the hope that is in Christ. God bless you. You're dismissed. Have a great week.